This is Daeem Shabazz of the Chess Drum. We're in Arlington, Virginia. The World Open has just ended. And you had a tie between Alexander Lindemann and Raouf Mamedov. Alexander Lindemann actually won. They had a blitz playoff, and he just won. So he got the extra prize incentive for the tiebreak. I have with me FIDE master Kazım Gülmalı, who also played in the open section, and he's been doing a lot of chess overseas. And how did this tournament go for you?
It was so-so. I started off with a draw against about a 2100 FIDE in English, and I was pretty much pressing the whole game, but I took too much time, and in time pressure, I wasn't able to convert, so it was a draw. And then after that, I think I scored two wins, but then it was kind of like I would play up, down, up, down. Mm-hmm. And I had a good game as white against Ilya Nizhnik in the Knight of Sicilian on the white side, but again, I took too much time, and I had a really good position, probably was more or less equal at the end, but I blundered just due to time pressure, and that was kind of the story. When I would lose games, I would kind of overthink and kind of a work in progress. The problem, though, I think I just came back from playing in Europe, and the difference playing one game a day versus two a day is so huge that when you play one game, that's it. I mean, you use up all your energy and you can relax. When you play two, you use all your energy, but now you have to go reset, and it's like a whole different world to play this tournament compared to a one-day game.
Well, what happened to me in the eighth round, I went the distance, the whole time control, and when I finished, it was 3:30. The round started at 4:30.
So
I had no time to relax. I had to go out running, get something right, and I ran back. So, and in the ninth round, I fell prey to a blunder because of exhaustion. So, yeah, I think American chess has its good points.
Oh yeah.
But the two a day may not be one of them.
Yeah, that may be the only downside to the chess. Okay, I understand it's really hard to set up a structure with everybody working during the day and tournaments all over the country. It's almost impossible to do. But the two game a day, I was thinking to myself that it definitely favors the kids. I mean, when I was a kid, I had so much energy. Two games, I could play as many games as you wanted, no problem. But when you become an adult, unless you're like a professional athlete or something like that and you're exercising all the time, it's like almost impossible to have all that energy all the time.
So what are some of the other differences that you saw being in Europe playing and kind of tell us what tournaments you played in?
So I played the first Saturday tournaments, which are run by Laszlo Nagy. Nagy. I'm sure everyone knows who he is. He's been running his tournament since like maybe 93 or something. And it was great. I mean, if I had anything that I needed from him, if I got sick, which I did for a little bit, he would always be there to help me. So it was like I had a friend, not only a tournament organizer, but he was really helpful in anything that I needed. So it's a little bit different. Okay, playing one game a day, and the rounds were at like 4:30 in the afternoon, so it was kind of different. Okay, I played in Dubai and Iceland. Okay, Iceland, the weather was really weird, so that's not really
the midnight sun.
Exactly, yeah. And people getting blown over by wind while they're walking in the street, so that was a different experience. But Hungary, I mean, the weather is really good. Usually there was some rain. But playing one game a day, I think if you can find other stuff to do, like I tried to play tennis and go to the gym and do other stuff while I was there. So I think the one game a day can kind of put you in a good enough time frame of mind that it's not you're not doing chess the whole day and just exhausted at the end. And usually after a tournament like this, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to look at chess for the next week or two. It's just so tiring.
So you ended up with one norm, one IM norm there?
Yeah, out of five tournaments, my first tournament is actually really bad. I play in the IM section, and in order to score the norm, I had to score 7 out of 9, which is really hard. I mean, everyone is fighting really hard. So I just thought, okay, let me go to the GM section. The GMs, okay, I can fight hard and hopefully get some draws and see what I can get, because I think I needed maybe around 5 or 5.5 to make an IM norm. So with both options open, it's not such a bad deal. But I ended up with one IM norm in an open tournament, which was 2,300 plus FIDE. So that was a big plus. And actually, everyone that I played was either an IM or a GM. So that helped tremendously. And a tournament like that is actually, I think in general, hard to find anywhere in the world. And then the last tournament, I was pretty close. I had 4.5 out of 10. But it was still a pretty good result, I think, because of the way I played. A lot of the games I could have won and either had a really good position or, I wouldn't say close to winning, but almost close to winning. So I am really glad that I played. I mean, that's the most chess I've ever played at that level. So to get that much experience that quick, I think, can only help. I think I just need to keep going, and eventually I'll get where I need to be.
So I'm sure Maurice Ashley would be glad to hear that your prize from the Millionaire Chess has helped make your travels possible. You're going to play in the one in October?
Yeah, it's actually funny. For the first Millionaire, I waited pretty late and actually paid the $1,500 entry fee to play in the Millionaire. But this year I signed up maybe like December 27th or whatever it was before January 1st, and I paid the lower entry fee. Yeah, for me, I mean, it's kind of like luck came at like the perfect time. I mean, all at once I win a tournament, and that tournament was really kind of weird because I was sick during the tournament. So basically my day was wake up, not even eat really because I was sick, play around, go to my room, take a nap, go play again, eat something at night, and repeat.
Wow.
So I didn't do anything else until the last night. Even the last night, I just went out and ate some food and just had a little bit of fun. But that tournament is probably one of the best things, I think, for chess, because we got to get it out there and popularize it, the media attention, everything like that. I mean, this is definitely the right a step in the right direction.
So you're still based in Atlanta.
Yep.
Are you doing any chess there, any teaching, or are you just focusing on your play?
So before Millionaire and a little bit after Millionaire, I was. But then I was planning a trip to Europe, so I took a break from teaching. Mm-hmm. And for about the past 6 months, I haven't done any teaching. And I think it's probably for the best, because I think teaching can mess up your chess. I think if you're working with someone, and that's a different story, but if you have to explain stuff, it kind of breaks down your brain, and when you want to go back to playing, it's like everything is kind of messed up. So if you just play and study and process information your own way, that's definitely the way to do it.
So the Millionaire Chess, you're going to be playing in. Any other plans for the future?
I'm thinking probably Gibraltar. I was supposed to go to that last year, but I missed the deadline.
You're doing a lot of European tournaments now. It's like we're going to be losing you. Because I don't think you play in the Atlanta tournaments much anymore, do you?
No, the Atlanta tournaments aren't so appealing simply because I'm usually the top seed. Recently, Grandmaster Alonzo Zapata has moved there, but it's kind of hard because the FIDE rating is more important for norms and everything like that. So
right. Can't jeopardize that.
Yeah, I mean, the USCF rating, if I only have one game to play against a GM, the other four rounds for a whole weekend, it's not something that's that appealing to me, because playing chess for that many hours, it's just so taxing, and I guess I've been doing it for so long that it's not that much fun anymore, unless it's really strong competition and I get really something out of it every game. So,
well, I've known you since you were 7 years old, and I always joke about that. It's kind of hard to believe you've been playing 20 years. But besides chess, what else are you doing? I know there was a discussion about tennis players, and I know you do play tennis, and they were trying to determine who were the strongest chess and tennis players in combination. Do you play in tennis tournaments still?
I used to play leagues. Tournaments, not maybe just one or two. As far as really good tennis players, I mean, I know one of the people that came up was Mark Esserman, and it's funny, we were at the World Open a few years ago, and I basically had to really, really convince him to go play with me, because he was convinced that I couldn't play. And then once we got on the court, he saw that I could play, but actually I was probably more impressed at how big he could serve. I have seen some big serves, and usually I could get a racket on it. For the first maybe 10 serves, I couldn't get a racket on his serve. It was so big. I mean, he's saying it's probably 140 to 145, which I can believe. I mean, he's hitting the corner, and it's just exploding. I think I was watching Wimbledon, and somebody just set the record for the fastest serve.
What was that?
I think it was maybe like 155. So he's definitely within range. I was able to get one back, so that was my...
You were able to get one serve back?
When he was hitting the big ones, because to hit that big, I mean, eventually your arm can give out. So,
but it's a lot of that is leverage, too, because when I used to pitch, I was a slender guy, but I could still throw it. And it's just it's mechanics and it's leverage and all of that. And so hopefully we'll see you at Millionaire Chess, and maybe you can repeat and get you another 40K.
Again, then, I mean, that would be like my tournament.
You might make a career out of playing a Millionaire Chess, because
right.
I think they actually are talking about having an edition in Europe.
Oh, wow.
That's the talk now.
I did say that, actually, yeah. I think there was even talk about having it this year earlier in April, something in Florida.
Right,
okay,
right.
But that was a little too soon. So
it was too soon.
It's still an early tournament, so they kind of have to figure out the logistics and everything. But to have a European version, that would be great. I mean,
you'd be there, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would definitely go. I think it's just a good tournament for chess in general.
So this World Open, overall, I mean, you've been playing in these a long time.
Right.
What do you think of the future of American chess? There are lots of young GMs coming up now. What's your view of that?
There's just so much talent that I think they're just going to get younger and younger and better with computers and coaches, the combination, and be able to play so much. So much information out there. I think the only thing that needs to happen is that maybe the chess probably should be sped up at least a little bit, because these long tournaments, it's pretty hard to sustain them. I think as far as...
You're talking about game 45 or game in...
That's a good question. I don't know. Even like... the game 90 with the 30-second increment will cut the games down to an average of about 3 to 4 hours versus these, which are about 4 to 5 hours. And I think even that slight difference makes enough to get the games in and not everybody be so tired at the end or even during the tournament. But as far as American chess goes, I mean, everybody comes to like this tournament and you see GMs lose games from
little kids.
Exactly, little kids. They're just like fighting with everything. They're no fear. So it's definitely great for American chess. I mean, so many prodigies. It can only get better.
It was not long ago that we saw Hikaru running around these tournaments, and Ray Robinson and Fabiano, they were all running around these tournaments, these open tournaments, and now they're all world-class players, and, you know, the American chess, I guess from that perspective, looks bright.
Yep.
But wishing you all the success in the millionaire chess, and hopefully you could repeat.
Yeah.
But if you repeat, we might even see you move to Europe. We won't want that to happen. So, but anyway, always a pleasure talking to you, and all the best.
Thank you, Daim. Thank you.
This is Daim Shabazz, and we're signing off Arlington, Virginia.